Your Best Friends podcast. I am your host and best friend, Aurora. And today's background noise is brought to you by the fact that I am cleaning my jacuzzi tub downstairs. If you follow me on TikTok, you know that I have been cleaning my bathtub for the past like month. So we live in an old house that we recently bought like 2 months, three, four. I don't even know anymore, guys. I cannot keep track of time. We bought earlier this year and there's a jetted tub in the master bathroom, and I feel pretty confident that it was never properly cleaned. And so before we used it, I cleaned it and I like posted it on YouTube. Sorry, not YouTube, TikTok. And it a little bit went viral. And so I've just been continuously cleaning it because that is what the people want, and I give the people what they want. And anyway, I got a new product for cleaning the tub. And what you do is with all of these products is you just put them in your bathtub and turn the jets on, and you leave it for like half an hour. So I thought, what better time to do that than right before I'm going to record a podcast, because that is so smart. So if you can hear like a deep rumbling in the background, it is because I'm running my bathtub downstairs, and I'm genuinely like praying that it does not overflow while I'm up here. So we will hope and pray for that. Today is going to be tea time. So we're going to talk about confessions and drama and gossip that was sent in to me. But first, I wanted to talk about something that's been on my mind. This isn't really like in way of life update, although if you are wanting one, we came back from our anniversary trip and it was so much fun and I miss my kids. But most importantly, I rolled my ankle, I think. I can't walk on it properly. But at the same time, I kind of just feel like maybe I pulled a muscle or a tendon or something. And I'm kind of just wondering, like, are you able to go to a massage therapist just to have them rub your lower legs and feet? Because that's not something I would normally want. Like, feet are gross to me, but I would make an exception for this circumstance. So I don't know, but also I'll probably just have Seth do it and hope eventually it stops hurting when I walk. Because the reason that I rolled my ankle though is because we went on this hike, and so before we went, obviously we looked up all the places we wanted to go see. My husband said this is a photographer. He loves being outdoors. He even admitted while we were on our trip that the trip was really for him. And that's fine. We're going to California in a few weeks, so that will be my trip. But he had this specific view picked out that he wanted to go hike to. We looked up the name of the trail. We drive to the place where the trailhead is. We are heading down. And as we are walking down this trail, I joke to Seth that he is not very good at directions when it comes to hiking and things like that, because 9 times out of 10, if we come to a fork in the road, Seth picks the wrong path. And I was joking about this time last year that we took the boys on a hike and Seth took the wrong path and we ended up walking a half mile like out of the way before we like redirected and went the right way to where we were actually going. And so I made a joke to him, and we passed this lady who heard us, and she commented on it and made a joke about how women are always right. And Seth and I kind of laughed about it. Anyway, no less than 30 seconds later, we come across a fork in the road, and I look at the two paths and I'm like, I think we should go this way. And I start walking this one way, and Seth starts walking the other way. And I was like, well, do you think they just meet up? Like, is this one of those weird situations where if you walk one way and I'm going to walk the other day, we're just going to like, you know, like meet up like in 15 feet or something? I don't know. And everyone else we'd seen on the path so far were like passing us, like going back to the parking lot. And so we didn't really have anyone to follow, but Seth was like, no, this other path makes sense. So I was like, okay. So we took the path that Seth suggested, and we ended up walking an extra 3 miles because it was the wrong path. That path was taking us down to the beach. We did not want to go to the beach. We were trying to go to this overlook for a place called Devil's Cauldron. If you are in the Pacific Northwest, maybe you know what that is. The path to get to Devil's Cauldron is a 1/4 mile round trip. Like from the parking lot to Devil's Cauldron and back is a 1/4 mile. It's basically a nature walk. But we hiked 3 miles. It was very steep. Lots of tree roots, stairs. It was intense. It took us like an extra 2 hours to hike these, to this hike. And I was really cranky by the time we finished because we got in the car and my whole body hurt. My ankle was hurting and it was hurting to walk and I was just cranky and it was cold. So that's my life update. But the thing that I wanted to talk about was jealousy. And it's funny because this morning I was thinking about it and I was just thinking about how I had a really good night last night. Me and my friend went to we made rings at the gem studio here in Utah. You can like go take a class, you pick out your gemstones, you have like an instructor, they help you make your rings. So we made these matching rings. It was super fun. And we really bonded with our instructor, she and I, and we like became such good friends with our instructor that we like exchanged numbers. We like have made plans with her to like hang out with her and her girlfriend again. Like we became really good friends in this 3-hour time span. And we drove back to my house and we grabbed some Taco Bell and we were sitting in my kitchen talking about it with Seth. And I told my friend, I was like, listen, if you hadn't been there, I would not have become friends with her. And she was like, well, what do you mean? Like, you're a friendly person. You like to meet new people. And I was like, yes, but I am enough of an introvert that unless I have an extrovert to be my buffer, and like familiarize myself in that area, I can't do it. Like I cannot network, I cannot socialize, I cannot like interact with new people in that way because I am truly such an introvert that like I have to have a buffer. That's why I do best in group settings with like multiple friends because it doesn't feel weird to me. It doesn't feel awkward, even though I don't love being around a lot of people at once. And this morning I woke up and I was feeling kind of bummed about it because not that we made friends with this girl, I'm so grateful that we did, but I was just thinking about how I have always hated networking events. As a content creator, I guess, I get invited to events, I get invited to things, and there have been plenty of times that I have gone and the person that I was supposed to go with flaked on me and canceled. And so I end up going to these events by myself and I don't enjoy it and I don't network and I don't get to meet new people. And I really just kind of stand around for 2 hours by myself wishing that I wasn't there because I forced myself to go because I would be so mad if I didn't, like I'd get FOMO, but I don't do anything while I'm there. And it's difficult to kind of get out of that. And I was just thinking about these specifically, there's this one person that lives in Utah that I really have been wanting to be friends with. And we have interacted on Instagram lots of times. I consider her to be a friend. I know she considers me to be a friend. And I finally like messaged her and we made plans to meet up to get brunch this weekend. But she has connected with so many people recently in Utah and she's always posting like on her stories when she meets up with somebody and like how they instantly click and they're instantly best friends. And I found myself feeling jealous, not of these people being friends with her necessarily, but I found myself being jealous of her for having the ability to become friends with people really easily. Like I just cannot wrap my head around doing that. I'm not someone who's ever been able to easily just bond with people and become friends instantly since I was like 13, you know? And so I kind of was sitting in that this morning and feeling kind of bad about myself and feeling like I don't know why I even try to do these things because it doesn't matter. Like I'm really bad at making friends. I'm really bad at networking. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time or you follow me on Instagram, you know that I had a massive friend breakup at the beginning of last year that resulted in thousands of dollars of therapy because it really ruined me as far as making friends goes and my ability to trust and like reach out to people and stuff. Maybe that was too personal to share on my podcast, but it was really rough. And so I have found myself more and more becoming jealous of people when I see them easily interacting with people, easily making these connections, easily networking. And I took some time to think about, my friend Amy has said that jealousy is just a moment to, like, when you find yourself being jealous, the best thing to do is to look at it and think, okay, why? Because if you're feeling jealous, obviously, what you want something that this other person has, right? That's like the whole point of jealousy is that you want something, but you can take time to like actually pinpoint like, okay, what is it about this situation that I'm jealous about? Am I jealous about this person because of the friends that they're making? Like I want to be friends with those people, or is it because I want to just be able to have that ease? And then once you're able to kind of target that, you can use it as a growth point for yourself, right? You can be like, okay, well, yes, I'm feeling really jealous. Let's figure out how to move past this. Like, let's figure out how to eradicate this, how to get that thing for myself if that's something that I actually value. What's funny is I had this like conversation with myself, like pep talk, like, okay, this is why I'm feeling jealous. I don't need to feel jealous because I have X, Y, and Z, and here's how I can become better at like becoming friends with people or whatever. And then I open up my email and I see the latest newsletter from Chloe. I don't know if you follow her. I'm saying as if I know what each and every single one of you who you follow on Instagram. There's this lovely girl. Her name is Chloe Bruderer. I've never actually tried to say her last name in my life. So I just murdered that. Her Instagram is Chloe Hearts Art, and her one of her Instagrams. I will put it in the show notes. She does a newsletter, a weekly newsletter, and it's one of the only email newsletters that I actually open. And the one that she released this week was about jealousy. And it was so interesting to see, I don't know, it just felt like that's what the universe was trying to tell me, was that I had this whole conversation with myself after the experience last night, and then I opened up my email to read an entire newsletter addressing the exact situation I'm going through. It felt like fate, but it was just really interesting. And I implore you to question your jealousy next time you're feeling jealous and try to figure out what it is exactly that you're feeling jealous of so we can all become better, more well-rounded humans together. So now that I've had the world's longest intro, let's get into some tea, because we have some good ones. And I have not read through these yet. I like to react to them with you guys. Okay, this first one says, I am an accountant by profession. Therefore, I know most of the process involved here. A few years ago, I needed some money because of some family needs. However, I couldn't take a bank loan because I already have a loan in another bank and my salary won't cover another loan. This bank, let's call it Bank A, has a promo in which it can buy out my loan from Bank B and would still allow me to have a small amount after the amount. Very much lower than what I need, but beggars can't be choosers. So I proceeded to request my statement of account from Bank B as an attachment to my loan application for Bank A. They gave me my SOA, but when I checked it at home, my balance is zero, whereas I still have a few thousand left, supposedly. For that night, I debated if I will have it changed or submitted as the attachment. For the latter, I would get the full amount of my loan. The following day, I submitted my documents with my SOA having zero balance. I thought I can just play dumb if they can confirm it with Bank B. Next, I waited for background checks. I happen to have a close relationship with our HR verifier who verifies the amount of our take-home pay for these loans. I showed her the SOA from Bank B, so she thought I really paid my loan from Bank B, so she certified that my take-home pay is enough to cover my loan. After the background check, Bank A asked me to get a certification from Bank B that I am really cleared for my loan. I remembered that I have a letter from Bank B, so I scanned it to get the letterhead and signature of the bank branch manager and made the certification myself. I submitted it to Bank A in digital format so as to not make it obvious that I just photoshopped it. The following day, they asked me to get my loan, but I have to bring a copy of the certification. When I showed it to them, they doubted it, but I told them that I also received it through email. Good thing, they seemed convinced and released my loan. It has been more than 5 years now, and I'm still surprised that I was able to pull that off when in normal times it would not be possible. They said, due to the system error, my loan from Bank B was completely wiped out. So instead of ending up with two loans, I only have my loan from the first bank to pay. Wow. And then they said, after leaving my job, this loan was then forgotten because I went to another state. So until now, this loan remains unpaid and it has not affected my credit score for whatever reason. Listen, eat the rich. Capitalism sucks. I support that you did that. I'm surprised you got away with it. But that's amazing. Okay, this one says, I gave a cashier back the extra $20 in change they gave me and I kind of regret it. So basically, I clicked the option for $20 cash back at the end of my debit purchase. Total came out to $38 and they handed me back two 20s. Got about two steps away before I realized the mistake and immediately went back to return the extra. Cashier almost seemed bummed that I gave it back, kept saying sorry and kind of glared even like I was complaining, but it just kept insisting how I simply didn't want her drawer to be off because of me, because I know how that feels. I know I did the right thing and it's wrong to regret doing the right thing, but she just seemed so apathetic and mad that I corrected her and I really could have used that extra $20. I can see both sides of that, because on the one hand, who does not love an extra $20? On the other hand, as someone who has worked in retail, having your till off can be like, it can really suck, especially if it's been off before. And so then you like get in trouble. Like, mistakes happen, but I don't know. And it really depends on who you work for, because sometimes you go through something like that and your managers are really chill and they're like, hey, this never happens. You must have accidentally given someone the wrong change. It's not a big deal. But then other times you make one mistake and you get like written up. It can be rough depending on who you're working for. So I can see both sides of that. This one says, I've recently started having therapy, but my therapist, after a few sessions, said that he isn't qualified enough to help someone as suicidal as me. His words, not mine. I personally don't think there's much wrong with me. I'm only doing therapy because my mom wants me to. And he has referred me to a more qualified specialist on body image stuff, etc. But because my friend has been worrying about me lately, I told him he referred me to someone much less specialized and less qualified because I'm getting better. So she doesn't worry as much about me because she doesn't deserve to have my shit piled on her because she struggles as well with mental health stuff. I don't really have anything to say about that, but I hope you are doing okay. Okay, this one says, this is so dumb, but I honestly feel bad about it because it's very unlike me. So I live in an area where they are hardcore cracking down on the whole bring your own bag thing. It's been an adjustment. Usually places still have reusable or paper bags to buy for a couple cents if you forget. Not this store. This store had nothing. They literally expected me to just loosely carry an entire week's worth of groceries. So I took the basket. The whole handheld basket you get at the front of the store by the carts? Yeah, that's mine now. I feel guilty every time I look at it, but I honestly feel like I had no choice at the time. That is hilarious. 10 out of 10. I love that so much. Okay, this one says, let me start this off by saying I feel awful. I am 100% aware that what I did has consequences and I won't be doing anything like this ever again. Lesson learned. If you are a chronic overthinker like me, do not willingly put yourself in situations that could potentially get you in legal trouble later on, LMFAO. So earlier today, I went to a Ralph's grocery store in LA, bought a few things to have for breakfast, and used my debit card to pay at self-checkout. When I walked out, I noticed the display of potted plants in front of the store right out in the open. There was basically nobody around, and on impulse and lack of judgment, I grabbed a little potted succulent, $4.49, I believe, and I walked away with it. As I started walking away, I heard something inside the store start beeping. It could have been a coincidence. I have no idea what it was, but as soon as I heard it, I started walking even faster, scared I had set off an alarm or something. I kept going till I was out of sight, and then realized everything I had failed to consider those brief moments that it took me to steal the plant, like the fact that I'm sure there were security cameras out front and that I had just used my debit card to pay, so in theory, they have a way to track me. I instantly regretted it, but was too freaked out to go put it back or anything because they might have questions or caught me. Now I'm overthinking this, and I'm so worried I'm going to get something in the mail soon finding me for what I did or asking me to appear in court or something. Like, is it possible for them to track me via my card? Would they actually follow through with trying to file charges against me for taking such a small thing? I seriously have no idea what came over me or why I did that. I literally threw the plant away when I got home. I couldn't even look at it. Maybe this sounds completely ridiculous. I can't tell, but it's been eating me alive. That's hilarious. Again, fuck corporations, eat the rich. I joke with Seth every single time we drive past Lowe's that I love summer because all of the stores put free plants outside, because obviously I know that you have to pay for those, and I never personally have stolen a plant from outside of a store, but the temptation is real every single time I drive past because I'm like, they're just right there. Like, what are you guys going to do? Also, this does remind me of a story. Something else, this makes me feel so guilty and I think about it at least once a week. A few years ago, I believe I was pregnant with Rosen at the time. I went to a gas station. I had just hit E, and I went to a gas station right by my house as I was coming home from work. I pull up to the gas station. I put my card in, set up the thing. Like, I wasn't really paying attention. I put my card in, and then I put the gas nozzle into my thing, and the screen just says begin pumping. So without really thinking, I just begin pumping. I fill up my entire thing, finish, I put it back. I click yes, give me a receipt, which I usually don't. I usually don't ask for a receipt because I'm just going to throw that away. But I get the receipt and I'm looking at it and I notice that there is like the total charge is like $100. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I spent like $45, $50 on this. I see that the total is like $100 and that's what it says on the screen too. And I'm like freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, I just spent $100 in gas. Can't really afford $100 in gas right now. What is going on? It never costs that much to fill up my car. Like, I thought I was being scammed. Look at the receipt a little bit closer, and the card that's listed, like it says the last 4 digits of your card or whatever, was not my card. And so what I had deduced happened was the person that went before me must have left literally seconds before I pulled in, and they did not hit that they wanted their receipt, but they didn't click no. And so it was still loading on that screen. And so when I pulled in and put the nozzle back in my car, it didn't register when I put my card in, and it just like continued the transaction of the person before me. And so I inadvertently, like there was no way for me to, I don't think if I had gone inside that gas station, they would have been able to fix anything or like refund them and then charge me. Like, I don't think it would have been possible, but I feel so guilty about that all the time. Like, what if they paid for their gas with the last money that was left in their account, and then I accidentally stole an extra $50 out of their account? I feel so guilty about that all the time, but I have no way of making that right or going back to that person. This is really turning into like a klepto episode. This one says, I received a refund from Walmart, but the product still came. I purchased a small electronic item costing over $200, and it did not arrive 2 days after the deadline, so I canceled the purchase and got refunded. A week later, the item came, so I called Walmart asking for a shipping label to return it, but they said it couldn't be done and that I had to take it to the store. Am I wrong for keeping the item? The answer is no, please keep it. That's happened to me before with Amazon. Around Christmas time, I ordered a pacifier for Rosen because I had tried to wean him off of them, and it was going really poorly, and we were getting no sleep, and he was up till 3 a.m., like without sleeping at all until that point, and then was getting up early. It just was not going as planned. I figured, screw it, we are not going to do that. But the pacifiers he likes, you cannot just go buy in the store. You have to go, like you have to order them online on Amazon. So I order the pacifiers online. It says like they're going to get there in 2 days or whatever. I get the notification that the order was delivered. And it says it was on my doorstep and it's not there. I go check with the office because we still live at the apartment. They say they never got anything. I called and they said, oh, sometimes it like updates and says that it's been delivered like too early. Like, let us know if you don't have it tomorrow. So I wait till the next day. Same thing happens. It's not there. It's not at the office. So they like resend it. So they don't send me a refund, but they like resend the package. I do get it 2 days later. 2 months later, I get the first package and I was floored because what I had assumed had happened was that it had accidentally gotten picked up with our trash. Like, I assumed that maybe they had put it outside, it had been delivered right before the trash person came to pick up our trash, and they just assumed I had left it out and they threw it away. That's what I thought had happened. And I was like, oh, but again, it's from Amazon, so I don't really like care, and I wasn't going to return it. But this one says, one Friday night, my friend and I were bored. We decided that we were going to egg someone or something. Okay, I don't condone that, but we drove around looking for a good target when I suddenly thought of my former employer. I hadn't worked there in a few years, but I knew that they were still in the same building, so we headed over there with a few dozen eggs. The building was in the back of an office park. It was dark and quiet. We hopped out of the car and started tossing eggs. I hit the front door and the windows nearest the front door. My friend got all of the company vehicles parked on the side of the building. We ran out of eggs and took off. Nobody worked there on the weekends. I'm sure they were in for quite a surprise Monday morning after the eggs baked all weekend. No security cameras, so nothing ever came of it. I, again, do not condone being egged or, like, egging somebody, but I don't know, like, I don't know what happened with you and that coworker. That is quite a confession. This one says, when I was growing up, I had this best friend and we were absolutely inseparable. For some reason, I had lice frequently. I remember this one time when we went to get my hair cut and they turned me away because of how much lice I had. Anywho, I was staying over at her house and we were laying on the couches in the living room. I started scratching my head and a piece of head lice fell out into my hand. I looked at it, I looked at her head, and I put the live lice on a piece of her hair and watched it crawl onto her head so I wouldn't have it alone. I'm more concerned about the fact that you consistently had lice and your parents probably did not treat it well enough to eradicate it than you sharing your lice. I mean, I would get really mad if somebody purposely gave me lice, but it sounds a little bit like neglect. Are you okay? Okay, this one says, one night I had just finished up a night shift and I reversed into my neighbor's car. It wasn't very hard and I checked the car and there were no dents in it and it was very light. I didn't say anything as there were no marks, so I didn't want to make a fuss. However, it turns out that the lower part of the car under the number plate, there is a bumper or whatever it's called, and that is loose and cracked. But I'm not sure if it was me. And the neighbors whose car it is has already had an argument with another neighbor that they suspect. Who among us has not accidentally, like, kind of hit somebody's car just barely, realized that there wasn't really any damage, and just, like, pretended it didn't happen? Just me? Okay. This one says, I used to fake my report cards even though my grades were okay. It's not a good look, more of a stupid look. My parents would only accept A's and B's, not C's, which isn't a big problem, but I had sociology in ninth grade and I would always fail the test even though I did great on the quizzes, which would always leave my overall grade in like the lower 70s. The time came to where they were wondering where my report cards were, so I'd go to the website and click inspect and change the numbers on the page, then print it out. I did this 2 times in total and they fell for it each time and took me out to ice cream to congratulate me because that's how you bribe people. Anyway, I just want to say I feel sorry because they would be proud of me after, but although I got my grades up in that class, I kind of wish I could have did it before lying about it. I would have done it. Especially if you have strict parents, because it's like, honestly, it's not that big of a deal. Like having like good grades in high school doesn't really amount to anything. The way that people are graded in schools, again, it just doesn't really make sense. Like it doesn't matter. What matters is that you learn at all. This one says, I work for a chain of 24-hour stores. Some time ago, I was working overnight. I hated it. It made me fully nocturnal to the point that the sun actually burned my eyes when I went out during the day. I hated the store, I hated my town, and I hated all of my coworkers. Because of this, I started fantasizing about what it would be like to just take the money and leaving for good while I stocked the shelves. I thought about this every night for months, but I knew jail would be worse, so I never did it. One day I was venting to a good friend about how I was feeling, basically telling them a lengthier version of that. I figured that they would tell me I'm going crazy and that I should quit and find a new job that I don't hate so much. Instead, we came up with the idea to stage a robbery and take the money together. Okay, are you just telling me the plot of Good Girls? Like, anyway. We took about 2 weeks to plan and I even called out of one shift so we could hammer out the fine details. The plan was that he would come in wearing a full face mask, long sleeves and gloves so that you couldn't tell who he was on the cameras. I also knew all of the camera dead spots, so he planned his escape route in such a way he really couldn't be tracked. We had the whole thing rehearsed and ready as if we were putting on a play. So the night finally comes and I had him wait until my coworker went on break so we wouldn't have an extra variable to plan around. He walks in during our deadest time of the night and we really started playing up the whole thing. He's pointing this fake gun in my face, I'm putting my hands up, shaking my head, all that. He has me lead him to the office where he quote unquote makes me empty the safe for him, and then he has me empty the registers for him on his way out. I give him a few minutes head start while I pretend to be rattled and catch my breath, pretending I can't stop shaking enough to dial 911, and I finally go alert my coworker that we were robbed and I was too freaked out to do it myself. The cops show up and take my statement. I told them that the robber spoke with an accent, even though he didn't. I fed them a lot of false info to take any suspicion away from my friend. My coworker saw nothing from the break room, so he couldn't give any info himself. It's corporate policy to give robbers whatever they want, so I got in no trouble at all. As a matter of fact, they paid me a bonus for handling it so well. They also took me off overnight shifts. Later, I told them I wasn't comfortable here anymore, so I put in for a transfer to the town I've always wanted to live in. That process got expedited due to the situation. My life turned around immediately, and I have never been happier. I used the money to finally start college. I just want to know how much money. And also, literally, that sounds like the plot of Good Girls, just a little bit. And I love that. Every single time I watch Good Girls, I'm like, I don't have the balls to do this, and obviously it's not turning out well, but I'm just curious. Okay, I'll read just a few more before we wrap it up for today. This one says, back in high school, I wasn't a great student and report cards always got me in trouble. Around the sixth grade, I started intercepting the mail, scanning in my report card on my Windows PC, then carefully changing all the grades and comments from my teachers using text and numbers that were already on the page. Afterward, I'd very carefully print it out so everything was in the correct spots, then fold it up and put it back in the envelope. I am shocked at how many submissions were about stuff like that this week because I don't know. I just was not a very sneaky, I was not a very smart child. I never would have thought to do stuff like that. But again, I'm here for it. This one says, okay, so 4 years ago, me and my mom went out shopping for an outfit for an upcoming event and I borrowed her jacket since it was cold. Well, I accidentally left the jacket at the store that was going out of business and I didn't see anything since the store was 2 hours away. My mom didn't notice until 2 weeks later when she started looking for it, then remembered that I borrowed it. She asked me where I put it and I lied saying I left it in the living room. Then she started thinking that it was my grandma, my dad's mom, since my grandma likes to steal a lot of things from us and give them to my aunt. And coincidentally, my aunt had the same jacket. My mom was kind of mad at me for not taking care of the jacket since it was a gift from her sister, but I gave her the one I was using, and after all these years, I still haven't told my mom the truth about what happened to the jacket. And her sister recently died, and I just feel really bad about it now. Wow. This will be the last one. This one says, it's been about a year since I moved across the country, leaving behind a life built upon deceit. I think about this every single week, sometimes daily, and guilt has been eating me up. And they said, for some context, I'm starting a new position in city government. Think financial slash analytical role. I took this job, an internal promotion from my last, in a very competitive process with internal candidates. I got the job, maybe by taking some unfair advantages. In every job, they want you to commit, and I made a verbal commitment of staying at least a biennium. I don't know what that means. I don't know what a biennium is, I'm going to admit. I'm going to assume it's a length of time, like 50 years. Anyway, however, I made this commitment knowing that I would be moving before the biennium. Why take it? The position would give me the resume credentials that would make my job search much easier. I thought I would stay long enough to do decent work. I just didn't realize how quickly I would have to make the move. Pandemic sped it up. 3 months after accepting the position, I get a little impatient and begin looking for jobs earlier than expected for the purpose of crafting resumes for jobs in my interest areas, assuming other government roles would take forever getting hired. I apply to some. I get responses in late February 2020, about the same time shit is starting to go down in China. Then Italy starts getting hit shortly after. At this point, people in the US had yet to react, but we saw this internationally making me nervous. I start applying for more things seriously. Fast forward to mid-March. I'm in my third round of interviews for a job that is appealing. Location is good, pay is okay, city is great, and I get an offer on a Thursday, March 19th. In a panic, I accept the position the next day. They ask how soon I can start. Damn, I was able to delay to start mid-April. Yes, mid-countrywide shutdown. I get them to send an offer letter ASAP, afraid they'd take back the offer. The fucked up part? I hadn't broached the subject to my family. My parents live in the same town as me, and I have their only grandchild. I hadn't even dropped a hint at work. I had been telling my wife that I was doing this, communicating intention of moving to a much larger degree than I had. So what do? Freaking out, I use the next 2 weeks to fake a family medical emergency on my wife's side. I fake a phone call near my coworkers, Friday, same day I accepted a position, that went like this. Wife called, panicked. Her dad had a heart attack. My wife was to fly out of town to go see her dad. I then faked more phone calls with updates from the hospital. I kept my colleagues up to date on dad's status, keeping them in suspense. I wore a sad and stressed face. The next Monday, my wife's school closes down due to COVID and events are being canceled. I didn't go back to work and reported to my colleagues and boss via Zoom. Story to them, father-in-law recovered but was on heavy medication. I took a week, but I eventually told my boss that my wife wanted to move to help my wife's parents. Eventually, my family got a similar story, but not as drastic. Something along the lines, my in-laws are not doing good and my wife wants to be closer to them in case something happens. She has a small family, only parents and a brother, and I have an enormous family all living in the region. They were tripped out that it was so quick and during the pandemic. Today, I work in that job I accepted. This whole process seems so sloppy, but it worked. The stories that I made up are unknown to my wife, especially the medical story for my colleagues. This will probably unravel between my wife and my family in the future, but until then, this is how it is. That really took like making up shit to get out of work to the next level. Like, we have all called in and been like, I'm sick. When we're not, to our bosses. But that really took it to the next level. I will say I didn't lie about having a brain tumor, but I thought that I had a brain tumor. And so I called and quit my job preemptively because my parents told me to, and was like, I can't come into work ever again. I was supposed to go into work the next day and was like, I can't come into work ever again. I have a brain tumor. And they were like, oh my God, that sucks. And then I found out the next day that I didn't have a brain tumor and it was anxiety that was making me sick. But I'd already quit. So all of those people think I had a brain tumor. Anyway, my bathtub has now been running for over 40 minutes and I'm starting to get a little bit concerned that it has potentially overflowed. So I'm going to go and check that. Please go and rate, review, subscribe to the podcast on the Apple Podcast app. Make sure that you are following along on Instagram at Your Best Friends Podcast and at Aurora McCausland so you can send in your confessions and gossip and drama for next month's episode of Tea Time. And I love you all. Good night.